Good afternoon. I'm Ken Bastida, and this is your Picks Now update. A UC Berkeley student making some serious allegations against some of the football team's staff and players. She wrote a lengthy Facebook post detailing alleged harassment. The Cal junior says that she was consistently sexually harassed by a coach and members of the Cal football team while working as an intern. She claims one coach even threatened her job. She writes, "I was under the influence and not legally in a state of mind to be consenting to sex. He snuck me into his office. I put my backpack and binder down, and he immediately grabbed for my waist. The next day, he cornered me at practice and said, 'If you do not have sex with me, I will get you fired.'" Her allegations. The woman says that she's left the university and is now getting treatment for PTSD and anxiety. Cal's released a statement saying, quote, "Cal Athletics is and will always be committed to fostering a culture where everyone feels safe, welcome, and respected. All of those associated with the department are expected to maintain ethical standards at all times. The university's Office for the Prevention of Harassment and Discrimination is now investigating the allegations." Hey, this just in, Warriors star Kevin Durant is grieving the death of a man that he reportedly considered to be his adopted brother. 32-year-old Clifford Dixon was fatally shot outside of a bar in Atlanta, Georgia, early this morning. Police say that he was standing in the parking lot when he was shot with several rounds of gunfire. Suspect still on the run. According to the Oklahoman, Dixon was taken by Durant's mother when Durant were about 16 years old. And Durant's mother tweeted this, quote, "The Durant family extends our deepest condolences and prayers to Cliff's family and friends. Our family was an extension of his, and we shared wonderful memories. His transition is an incredible loss for all of us who loved him." The Chronicle reports Durant will play in tonight's Warriors game against the Pacers. And a somber anniversary in Oakland today as well, as the community remembers four fallen police officers killed in the line of duty 10 years ago. On this day in 2009, Officer John Hegway and Sergeant Mark Dunnigan shot and killed during a traffic stop of a wanted felon. Sergeants Irvin Romans and Daniel Sakai were also killed when they went searching for the suspect. More than 100 officers, former officers, family, and friends stood united today, gathering at St. Benedict Catholic Church to remember.
We have officers who just couldn't come to work today. It's too hard on them.
This is just a stark reminder to us what a dangerous job our police officers have, and that as a city, we mourn every loss of life.
And the city holds a memorial for the officers each year, but even after a decade, time has not healed the pain. In Sonoma County, three residents who lost their homes in the 2017 wildfires are now suing two government-chosen firms involved in the debris cleanup. The lawsuit accuses Ash Britt International and Tetra Tech of removing too much soil from their properties, all for financial gain. It states the companies were paid between $200 and $300 per ton of debris removed. Ash Britt's chief of staff has responded to the claim, saying, quote, "The amount of debris removed from properties followed all contract requirements." Tetra Tech says the lawsuit, quote, "has no merit whatsoever." And you'll recall Tetra Tech was also involved in another unrelated case. They're accused of fabricating radiation data related to the environmental cleanup at the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard in San Francisco. President Trump signing an executive order today aimed at incidents like this. A conservative speaker at Berkeley getting punched in the face last month. This executive order requires public universities to certify they comply with the First Amendment right to free speech on campus, or they'll risk losing billions in federal grants.
Keep standing up for your values, for your classmates, and for your country, and you can be certain that every day of my presidency, we will always support your rights and your freedoms and your future.
It's not clear how the order will be implemented or even enforced. Now to a live look outside from our San Jose camera. You can see a little bit of haze, a little bit of cloudiness in the sky. Not much, though. Chief Meteorologist Paul Diano tracking our
next chance of showers. I said it all rain. There's more rain moving in tomorrow, but a beautiful day between the storms today. We dried out yesterday afternoon. That drying trend continued today. Let's take a look outside and show you that it's still kind of chilly, relatively speaking, about 3 or 4 degrees below average. Livermore 62, San Jose sunshine 63, Santa Rosa 63, and Concord 63. Radar is clear for now. Come tomorrow morning. Yes, rain will make a return between now and the weekend. Let's look at a future cast. By 8 tomorrow morning, we're raining in the North Bay. So if you're watching us in the East Bay or South Bay, much if not all of the morning commute tomorrow will be dry. The evening commute, yeah, not so much. There's a wave of light to moderate rainfall moving through. Stop the clock here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Futurecast calling for that rain to move through, but moving out before midnight. And Saturday will start off with partly sunny skies and increasing sunshine. On a 1 to 10 scale, rain's going to be no more than a 4, no flooding concerns. The biggest impact will be the impact on the commute. Overnight tonight, lows in the mid to upper 40s, 48 Oakland, 44 Livermore. Temperatures will be cooler than average tomorrow as that rain returns, anywhere from 3 to 7 degrees cooler than average. Concord only 59 for a high. Your pollen report will be a little bit lower tomorrow because of the rainfall, but really shooting up on Sunday on a 1 to 12 scale. It'll be up near an 11. And your 7-day forecast, a dry weekend. The rain moves out just in time for Saturday, and rain will not return until Monday. So we sneak in a couple dry days. We will be soggy, especially Monday and Wednesday of next week. So an unsettled pattern continues. Back to you, Ken.
All right, Paul, thanks for that. A new display at San Francisco's California Historical Society's Museum. It marks the 150th anniversary of the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. And part of it shows the contrasting lives of the wealthy railroad barons and the immigrant Chinese laborers.
The railroads also contributed to the fracturing of the country socially and culturally in that time period. And I mean that in terms of their exploitation of immigrant labor, the displacement of indigenous tribes along the lines.
That's right. The exhibit also includes photographs of the damage the construction did to the natural landscape. The show runs until September 8th. Taking a live look right now at the East Bay, where St. Mary's fans have gathered at the college campus in Moraga. They will cheer on the men's basketball team moments from now. The Gales will be taking on defending champions Villanova in the first round of the NCAA championship. Now, someone who isn't rooting for St. Mary's, former President Barack Obama. What? That's right. He released his bracket today, choosing Villanova Wildcats to win over the Gales today. Vegas did the same thing. Don't blame the president. As for the team, who will take it all? Mr. Obama chose number one ranked Duke. As for the women's tournament, the former president chose the University of Connecticut Huskies to defeat number one seed Baylor. Keep up with President Obama's bracket and your own and mine and Paul Deano's and Dennis O'Donnell's on our website, kpix.com, where you can find a complete guide to March Madness, including the schedule of games and the CBS Bracket Challenge. And remember, you can watch or listen to our updates right here on your favorite platform, including our website, kpix.com, or on our KPIX Facebook page.